Hey, email us. Come on, man. This is the third time I've had to make an intro telling you we didn't read the emails again. There's some kind people who have emailed us that are waiting to hear us read their emails on the show, but we're waiting to give the rest of you some money to email us. Maybe we'll just cancel the podcast. Maybe people just don't care about us at all anymore. Email us. Free money. Come on. Welcome to the Game Boys Advanced Podcast, episode 85. With me here today, four other nerds. Nerd number one, nerd number two, nerd number three, nerd number four, and your host, nerd number five, the man with the ranking scale. Today, we are all going to talk about our five games of the year. I wasn't just lazy and couldn't think of any nicknames for everybody. That's thematic, so you're welcome.
I'm number one.
Which nerd is number one? You'll have to find out, or not. But regardless, welcome to our year in review, the Game Boys Advanced Year in Review. This will be out around the same time as, let's see, what is Wednesday next week? Or Monday, it's like the 21st? 22nd?
23rd. It'll be just 23rd. Before
Christmas. It'll be out right on the 23rd, right before Christmas. We're going to take a little hiatus, a little break, and then we'll be coming at you back around the New Year week with some emails, hopefully. We are not going to read the emails today, so don't get your hopes up. We still need more emails. Again, we are giving away free money.
Take
you just
my
gotta
money.
Send us an email.
Hey, please.
I got a new job. I'm trying to spend it on you. You're my little Discord kittens. Let me give you free games.
God, that's just...
Wait, does that mean you'll buy me skins if I want? If I email.
Yeah, maybe that's what we need to start offering is free skins.
We should start a skin gambling ring.
Oh, God. Oh, all right. Anyway, all right.
Well, moving on.
With us here today, joining us once again, Mr. Adam Fitzpatrick. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Good to have you back. He participated in our Fantasy Critic this year, and we are going to go over the results. You will find out who the two winners are at the end of the show here, and then you'll find out what games we will be playing in the new year. We haven't decided exactly when we're going to play them, but I think the plan is to do an episode on each game that we play, and we'll decide the timelines, probably off pod at some point, but we are going to announce the games today. So, other person that won, hopefully you've chosen a game. If not, hopefully you're thinking of it as we record the episode, but the format for today is, first off, we're going to go over just some brief little tidbits, some news, and then we're going to jump into our games of the year. Each one of us is going to announce the game that we played for the first time this year and why it is our game of the year. And then we'll go to the back again to announce the winners of Fantasy Critic. So buckle up, get ready for this year in review, get excited, get stoked that Adam is here and is making our Adam the other Adam. We're all excited for that. Yeah. Let's jump in. Hey, let's take it to the game state, boys. Right away, straight off the bat. Jumping in cold. Game state. Noah, where are we going?
Somewhere in Mexico. Anybody have any idea of like Mexican? Okay. not Mexico, like Mexico then.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's go to the North Pole.
Yeah,
I like it. Coming at you from the North Pole.
Today, I was having, just as a really, really short sidebar, I was having some students who were being naughty in my class, and ChatGPT.
I don't know if you can say that about your students.
ChatGPT, it'll make sense in a second. ChatGPT can talk like Santa Claus now and can just have that conversational speak. So I plugged it into the intercom and put it up on the screen, and I like told it, like whispered to it, like, hey, these two students are acting this way. Can you reprimand them? And it like just completely like reprimanded them like loud over the speaker. It was like, oh, Carly and Angelica, which is not their names, but it said their names. Listen to your teacher. Otherwise you will be placed on the naughty. Like it was totally just went into full Santa Claus mode. And I was like, hell yeah.
Aiden, yeah, stop being a little world. Bitch.
It doesn't swear. Awesome. It's got the filter. So it was nice. I just let it go. I kind of wish it would have sworn because they were definitely acting very annoying.
they're just ready for break, man. All right, don't hold it against
them.
I get it.
That's why I sicked the AI on them. I wasn't too mean, but it was funny. Anyway, let's take it to the North Pole. Thanks, Santa.
That is a gnarly sentence. I sicked the AI on them.
We are truly in 2024.
We truly are.
Dang, I didn't think about that. That actually happened. That's real. It's weird. It's all right.
You have to live with that. You have to go to bed tonight knowing that you did that.
It's okay. I'm comfortable with Santa being an AI. That's fine. Santa's real now.
Okay. Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Fuck. You can go talk to Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yep. Anyway, hey, welcome to the Game State. We're in the North Pole. Santa is here. Maybe I'll edit in some AI clips of him talking to us so you can feel weird.
And it's fucking cold.
It is really cold.
That's what
cold.
They don't tell you about the North Pole is it's basically the Yukon.
Good thing we have magic to keep us warm.
Editor Payne here. I seriously tried to add some Santa clips in here and it was just too much work. So, sorry.
We did have a couple of magic things we wanted to talk about, specifically a game that was banned for its possibly magical and underground contents, not banned, but rated by the PEGI system, which is a name that makes me feel kind of weird when I hear it. The PEGI rating board. What did they say about this game, Brother Adam?
So, the PEGI board recently finally gave a rating to a Game of the Year contender, Balatro, which was a Game of the Year contender at the Game Awards this year. And they basically came out and said, hey, because this game teaches you about poker hands and it teaches you like what a pair is, what a two pair is, what a straight is, and all that stuff. Because of that, it promotes gambling and therefore needs to be 18 plus. So this happened and obviously the Balatro community went crazy because it's like, are you serious? Now, there is a certain level of, I guess, higher strictness that PEGI has that, as opposed to like ESRB ratings, right?
Fair.
But regardless, Local Funk, the solo dev of Balatro, basically came out and tweeted and said, you know, in light of the new PEGI rating, I think that maybe I should just add loot boxes and microtransactions. And hopefully, then they'll treat me like FIFA and give me a 3+ rating for 3-year-olds or higher. So, you know, there's that. And because, I mean, let's be real, loot boxes promote gambling far more than literally just learning how to play the game of poker.
I don't think loot boxes promote gambling. I think they are gambling.
They are gambling.
just in having rewards for you in game, it's being promoted. Gambling is being promoted. You know?
I mean, if we're going to say Balatro is gambling, should we say that tabletop RPGs are gambling? Because every time you do something, you have to gamble?
Rolling dice.
Because isn't it just like it's just saying like a random number generator? You're gambling for something in the game, like
no, because they are saying that there's a pre-established game that is played in casinos that is being taught, quote unquote. But then like you get into like the fact that there's a bunch of magical cards and stuff in the game that and there's hands that don't exist in poker that you can play.
Also, like, doesn't poker exist like pre-casinos?
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
like, poker, surely yeah. It's like a very old game.
Poker, I barely know her. I mean,
Can I ask a very dumb question? And
sure,
probably something that I could Google if I had Google at my fingertips right now. Do you have to be 18 to play the lottery?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I figured as such.
Only done it once.
But yeah, it's an interesting decision from the whatever you want to call it, the board of PEGI. Right.
This is what woke is doing to our culture.
I mean, in Europe, it's just a different place. So what their limitations are interesting. Where they draw the lines are interesting.
If anything, that's a really conservative ruling. So.
It is. It's incredibly.
That was a joke.com.
I know you were joking, but I was taking it literally just to see where I could go. Anyway, was there any other news that anybody wanted to shout out? I know the Game Awards just happened.
Yep, AstroBot Game of the Year. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know. The Game Awards are fine. There wasn't anything there that I cared about or wanted.
Wait, did you guys see the cat game that a lot of people are accusing of being AI slop?
That I did not.
The commercial somehow made it into the Game Awards, they're saying.
Oh, and, yeah, I did see this.
Yeah, and this. I mean, if you look at the trailer, it does look like borderline, like this could be AI generated. It's called like Catful or something, or Catly or something along those lines, and it's just like realistic cats, and it's supposed to be like an MMO type survival type thing where you play as a cat and
so like Cat cats. Blew up with Stray, and now everybody's like, we have to make a cat game to make money. I hate that.
And I guess this the dev team that is creating it has a shady background in other AI generative fields and things like that, or NFT related stuff, and it's just like
lame.
It's looking like they released a statement to their credit that basically denied all those claims, right? They said there's no AI generative works within this entire game.
Now, we just stuck at art.
We are going to move on in about 3 minutes here, but I want to know if we have any positives from the Game Awards. Did anybody see anything that they're excited about? Did anybody hear about or see any games that they were glad got some recognition?
Isn't there Balatro, right?
Balatro won Mobile Game of the Year, which was cool. Yep.
Isn't there going to be like a Turok remaster coming out? Wasn't that announced at the Game Awards?
Turok remaster, which
that's going to be like, pretty sick.
Fine, I guess.
Okami and Onimusha are getting remastered.
That's right.
Okami is getting a sequel too, which is cool.
A sequel, yep. And then Witcher 4 is out.
Yeah, that was a big deal too. The Witcher 4. I kind of feel lukewarm about that because it's like Cyberpunk was announced like 5 years before it came out. So I'm like,
well, maybe they learned.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows when it's actually going to come.
I don't know. It seems like they're learning less and less with every game. So
yeah,
we got Borderlands.
Slay the Spire 2 had a trailer at Game Awards.
Yeah. And, yeah, but we knew Slay the Spire 2 was coming.
Well, like, right, but I love how at the end they did like the, like, to be released in early access in 2022, and then it flips through numbers, and you're like, are we going to say 2024? And then it just 5, and then it says still in the top left corner. Still 2025.
They trolled super hard.
It was very funny. It made me laugh. Yeah, but the gameplay looks really good. The new cards seem awesome. I'm very
It looks like character. Slay the Spire 1.
It looks better. But
with different cards.
With different cards and more intricate designs and enemy designs and animations and different. There's a few new mechanics too being added. All right, chill. Jeez.
It was cool to see it, like knowing that it's made in Godot, just watching it and how similar it looks to the first one and just seeing how they were able to transition pretty seamlessly. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, there was an issue with the Humble Studio for a while, so I wasn't sure. I was glad to see it. Like, oh, this game's still coming out.
Yeah. Oh, if they, people would riot. Riot in the streets if Slay the Spire 2 got nixed.
I am disappointed we didn't see anything about Silksong or the Bloodborne remaster. I know that new Elden Ring, which I thought was a DLC, but it's actually a full new game.
And it's like a battle royale roguelite.
It's not a battle, it's just
it's a co-op, isn't it?
It's a co-op roguelite.
Yeah.
Honestly, a battle royale.
You jump out from a battle bus, effectively. To start
it's like PvE battle royale, which is kind of interesting.
Kind of sick, not gonna lie.
I'm into it. I thought it was cool. I was like, I could get behind this. That's cool. And it's supposedly it takes place in a parallel universe. So that was kind of cool. I guess. We'll see what happens. Hopefully you don't have to like use fingers to connect with your friends. Hopefully it's just like easy. But
yeah, that was always frustrating.
Like, I looked at The Witcher 4 and I realized, because I was like, man, how long ago is Witcher 3? Witcher 3 turns 10 next year.
Wow.
So, Jesus Christ.
Damn. That doesn't feel correct.
I know, right?
But it is.
It is.
I guess Skyrim's over 20 at this point, right?
No. I didn't even have to mention Skyrim is like
13 or 14 years old. I'd say.
No, hold on. So Skyrim came out
in 2011.
Four years before Witcher.
Witcher, correct.
What?
Yeah.
There's less time between Skyrim. Wow.
Yep.
Crazy.
I do.
Damn it. All right, that sucks. Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's move on.
It is funny to hear you guys talk about a few years of time being old, because I'm like, oh yeah, 4 years. That's not that long.
I know, man. We haven't been burdened by the years yet.
Cyberpunk is 4-ish, right? 3 or 4. Oh.
Yeah,
it's just starting to go a lot faster. Job.
Yeah. Skyrim to The Witcher 3 felt like a long time, but I feel like it's just because the jump in fidelity was so huge.
Yeah,
that might be part of it. Did it feel that big for you, Adam, when you saw in those games, like from Skyrim to Witcher?
I mean, I was already in grad school or working at that point, so yeah, no, like when time speeds up once you start working a real job, like a job out of like
not the time jump, but the
working
fidelity
a real
jump.
Job.
Like yeah. PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4, did that feel like a big jump from your perspective?
That was a big from my yes, like graphics wise and perspective wise, yes, that was a big jump.
That's the big thing with Skyrim and Witcher, I feel like, is it's just there was a huge fidelity jump in computers too. Like the technology with graphics cards just like skyrocketed.
Yeah. And it's
we'll
kind
see
of
what
plateaued.
Yeah. It has plateaued. I think we were looking at these handhelds, and I was like, I think the next big thing is just like, how can we make all of our consoles as small as possible and portable? I think that's like the next big thing that everybody's going to be trying to do, with reports of Xbox making a handheld and PlayStation making a handheld, and with these hundreds of Chinese handhelds that are coming out that are just like personal computers that are just very small. It's like, now that we can do whatever we want, how can we make it as convenient as possible to make games? So I think that's what the next decade is going to be about, in my opinion. Huh? But let's move on. Let's take it to the Game of the Year extravaganza. And I don't know if you guys listened to the last one, but I just put Anthony Fantano screaming as the transition song between the new segment of me and Adam winning. So I think that's what I'll put here. The Game of the Year extravaganza. Let's go. All right. Welcome to the Game of the Year extravaganza, where we are all going to tell you what game we played this year that is our personal Game of the Year. We might have picked one that came out this year. We might have picked one that came out 30 years ago, but we'll be picking a game that is our Game of the Year. We'll tell you a little bit by why it's special to us, why it is our Game of the Year, and then we will take it to the end, and you'll find out who won Fantasy Critic and what you're going to be playing next year with us in our play-along session. So, is anybody just chomping at the bit? You just want to go, you want to talk, you want to tell us what your game was?
I'll go.
Okay, Noah is. Let's go, Noah.
So, do I just have to pick one, or can I give a short list and then tell you my favorite of the year?
As long as you don't talk about each one of them, you're allowed to give a short list.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear you say shit, Jake. Golly. So a lot of my list was not released this year. Somewhere.
This doesn't sound like a list to me. Sorry.
What?
Jeez.
I said, it was like lists, and then you started going into a spiel. All right, we want lists, my friend. We're on a timetable.
Anyways. So, of my top five, the ones that came out this year, Balatro and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth are both on there. And then the other three that I think are most important to me that I played this year are Elden Ring, Hades, and, funny enough, one I'm playing right now, Persona 3. Reload.com.
Nice.
So I think in order it would have to go from 5 to 1, Persona 3, Elden Ring, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Hades, and then I think Balatro is my game of the year.
Nice. All right, dude. Wow. Does that surprise you?
Yeah. Because, I mean, truly, like, of the two that came out this year, like, good portion of this year, I was thinking Rebirth was going to be my game of the year. Because I love that game. And I love Final Fantasy VII. And I don't know, man. Like, as I just, like, got more, I guess, retrospective about the year, like, on principle, I feel like I just have to give it to Balatro. It just, everything about it is just, like, what I want to see in games. Like, I love solo dev games. I love games that don't make you buy shit. I love games that do exactly what Balatro did. Like, I'm not a big deck builder guy. I'm not, like, you know... most signs would not point to me loving this game, but I fucking adored Balatro. I think I have more hours on that than I do of any other game in my Steam library, which is wild. So yeah, I don't know.
That's excellent.
And it's fun on mobile. Like, I, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing, like, on mobile.
I haven't played it on mobile yet.
It's nice.
It's still I'm great. Sure.
I remember the first time I played Balatro, I was like, this would be a sick mobile game.
Listen, I'm just saying, bathroom breaks at work, never the same.
Yeah,
true. Ever since it came out, bathroom breaks at work have never been the same.
Where's Adam? He's been gone that I've got for 20 minutes.
Right. I got some gastrointestinal issues after that came out on mobile. But, you know.
Sorry, boss. I have IBS. Right. See you in an hour.
Yeah. I think overall, like, I think the actual, like, best, biggest game I played was Rebirth. Like, Rebirth was a fucking undertaking to make. It just, there is so much there. But, yeah, I don't know. I haven't, like, gone back and played Rebirth. But I've, at least 5 times a month this year, I have gone back and played Balatro for a bit.
Yeah. It's great. Yep. It's great to pick up. It's just right there. It's really easy. And like you said, I think it really just represents what we want to see in games. And it's not necessarily like the genre. Like, we don't necessarily need to see more deck builders or more poker games, but it's just like the spirit of it. It's like,
fuck you. I want both more of both of those.
There will be more. I'm with you too. I want to see more of that stuff too, but just the spirit of it is definitely there. Great pick, Noah.
I also want to mention how badly I wanted to put Black Ops 6 on there.
I got you.
I know.
Didn't even come close.
I'm
going to
take one from Noah's book and just do a little spiel, as they say.
No spiels. We're listing if you're going to say
feel like shit. I feel like Balatro is just subjectively the game of the year. It's not mine, but there's that.
Agreed.
That fuck came out this year. For me, the game of the year that came out this year was Black Ops 6. I mean, it totally brought me back to my childhood, but that's not really the game I want to talk about. My true game of the year that I just found this year is RimWorld. Like, the way that Noah described, Balatro, I just kept coming back and playing. And, like, dude, I have spent probably twice as much time setting up mods and going through different settings and creating new worlds than I have actually playing RimWorld. Like, I start one for like 2 hours and I'm like, God, this didn't go the way I wanted. I got to start a new world. And it is just so, so good in every possible way. I mean, if anybody listening hasn't played it, it's a manager, micromanager, but it's really cool. I heard someone describe it as a storyteller. Like, things can go wrong and you probably will die. It's just telling you a story and you're facilitating it. But yeah, I've been very much sucked into that. A lot of my YouTube content is watching people way better than me play it. And it still frustrates me how much better than me they are. And that's what I got.
I think you hit on something really important about a game of the year, is that it's something that you just keep thinking about and keep playing, you know, and just like a game that really grabs you and pulls you in. You talking about that and saying that made me reconsider what my game of the year was.
So, like, another one would be like Helldivers or Space Marine, like, where every time I see a meme, I'm like, ah, fuck yeah. Like, you know, you're always thinking about it. Or, like Tarkov, I'll never skip over Tarkov content that's good. You know, I might not be playing it right now, but I still love it.
Yeah, it just has moments. Those games, types of games have moments that you will never forget, right? They create moments that just feel good, feel epic, feel fun. you know?
Yeah, so. When my first Man in Black came in after everybody other than my main person died and they were downed on the ground in Rimworld, and then what will happen is the game will give you a Man in Black and he'll come in and save you, but like you have to manage him so he doesn't die too. And I was like, oh, I thought it was over. Oh, shit. And like, I know that now, but I didn't know that prior because everybody that I've watched doesn't lose like that or they don't show it. So I was like totally distraught. My entire colony was fucked. My person was downed and I couldn't do anything. I was just watching them die. And it's like, Man in Black has appeared in your colony. And I was like, oh, oh, oh. It was awesome. Yeah, it was super cool.
That's great. Great game. I really want to play that game. But it is that just mega game where it's like you have to commit time
to
it.
The vanilla experience is I could get you started very quickly. We'll without see. The DLC. Like the DLC is where I'm struggling because there's like so many more giant fleshed out systems that I'm not proficient in.
Quick sidebar. Do you have hand tattoos now? What's up with
no,
your hand?
No, I was painting today.
Oh, nice.
It looked like you said a bunch of stars in your hand. I was like, that looks actually sick. Do you get hand tattoos, bro?
That's yeah, awesome. Boy.
Yo.
No, it has gang shit written across
yeah,
his fingers.
I was like, whoa.
It's just gang and then shit on both hand knuckles.
Yeah. Right on. Well, I'm going to hand the mic to 37-year-old Adam. What was your game of the year?
My game of the year, Legend of Heroes, Trails Through Daybreak.
Ooh.
Definitely. I wish it got more love at the Game Awards. It got no nominations. But story-wise, top-notch. And after a very successful Trails of Cold Steel arc, they came out swinging.
Nice.
You have a very strong investigator character. Good friendships, good battle system. The battle system is so much better. I like the hybrid that they did with the they basically did a real-time engine for combat, and it's like, oh, I can hack and slash easy enemies on the field, and harder enemies I can go into turn-based battle with.
Oh, that, hell yeah. That's clever.
And unlike Metaphor, they actually did it really seamlessly and smooth. Metaphor
you
got
a little smooth
shock.
Metaphor?
I think it's smooth in a comparison of like rough smooth to Trails Through Daybreak is like this is butter.
Okay.
This
so
is
it's
butter
the better version of that hybrid system.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And honorable mention, I started the original Persona recently. Love that game. And Metaphor, very close second.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard good things about the Legend of Heroes like series, you know, and I've heard that world building wise, it's one of the best in story wise and character wise. It's like one of the best JRPG series to play.
I didn't hear anything about that this year at all. Like, I literally just looked it up because I was like, what are you talking about, sir?
Yeah, but I'm still...
Leave it to Adam to bring up a deep cut JRPG that is a hidden gem. What?
Yeah.
Why didn't this get more press? Like, what do you think is the over-under on that? Was it not good in a certain way? Is it just obtuse? Or, like, what's the deal?
So, in the Legend of Heroes, the challenge of the series of getting into it is that it is all a continuation.
Oh,
so the original Legend of Heroes 1 game is still part of the same world as Trails Through Daybreak.
So it's not a Final Fantasy situation.
It's not a Final Fantasy situation. So there is always a challenge of how do we get new people into a game that has, I think, 11 entries at this point, maybe 12.
Oh, boy.
Do you prefer that style of storytelling in a game? I guess all of you.
I like it for what it is because it does it well. That and Yakuza are kind of the two games where they have that sense of you could play every entry on its own and still get enough of the story. Yakuza does that a little better, I think, than Legend of Heroes. Legend of Heroes, you need a lot of foreknowledge. That's why it doesn't get a lot of sales in terms of like... it's not selling 3 to 5 million copies out the door, because it's like, oh, we have, so because to catch up on the series, you have to play probably about 500 to 600 hours worth of games at Legend of Heroes.
Oh my god.
And older games, right? These are dated games that, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like these days, like, it's so easy to just watch a fucking YouTube video and get caught up. Like, I forget.
It's still a lot of time, dude.
For sure, for sure. But I forget what game I was playing. It was some, like, RPG or some other new thing that came up. And, like, when you loaded into the game, it was, like, it linked you to a YouTube video to just, oh, you know what? It was once human. They had guides on how to do everything. And I was like, you would start a thing and it would be like, you should watch this video, but if you don't want to, skip it. It's only 30 seconds long, but it'll help you out with this whole thing. And like, I feel like in a story game like that, just like having the resource of being like, if you want it, here you go. I'm of the opinion that your game should be able to be good even without playing the other stories, which I'm sure that it is.
So I'm realizing upon Googling this, because I didn't think I had ever heard of it, but I actually played one of the games when I was way younger, like not enough to say I really played it, but I played Trails in the Sky as a kid.
Yep.
I didn't realize that was the same franchise.
It's one of the most popular ones for sure.
Yeah. Well, and the other problem is that they're never eligible for the Game Awards because they don't do simultaneous releases of their games because they're not a AAA studio and they don't have a huge budget.
Right.
Oh. So the games usually release in Japan. Now, the turnover time has reduced significantly. They're getting games out usually in just under a year or so now. We're getting Trails Through Daybreak 2 in February. And I think the Japanese version came out about a year. It'll be about a year turnaround time. And then the third installment of the Trails Through Daybreak series, that's going to come out probably late next year. And that just came out, like the Japanese version just came out not that long ago.
Yep.
That's radical. Thank you for always bringing us some outside wisdom and pointing us at stuff like that. I mean, that's it sucks that they don't have a huge budget and that kind of disqualifies them. I don't know if it's the same if you have a like an English only release and it's what you've released in the West. Like I look at something like Balatro. I know that it was globally released through Steam, but like, was it fully translated? Like why would you not?
I mean, it's the same issue with the game or with the Fantasy Critic. We can't ever choose Legend of Heroes games for Fantasy Critic because they're all technically fully released elsewhere.
Mm.
If they ever get to a point of simultaneous translations, and I think that is a goal of the of Falcom, then you would start
like
seeing
a larger issue.
But I just think I'm saying in general, like it's if it's released elsewhere, it's like saying that like the center point of video games is America or the West. So it's like,
oh, when the award shows are based here, it is.
But like, how many?
Because I'm sure there are Japanese like video.
Is
game
there
awards
basically there, anything right? other than Japan that does that? Like to the extent that Japan does that.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of like Euro games. That
but I'm sure they get released, but it's just like.
I'm sure any other country who's making a game and has trouble translating it, it's like this. I'm sure there's lots of like hidden games that we just can't play or haven't played that haven't been translated.
Especially with the JRPG format, with so much dialogue and so much nuance that you have to get across, and you know, you have to make sure that you're translating all of it at least relatively properly to again get those emotions across and build the relationships between the characters. And
I think that's a big part of it. It's just like the kinds of games, right?
Yes.
Like,
100%.
When it comes to translation, like it's kind of more important for, because most Japanese games, I feel like that could be eligible for an award are going to be very story heavy JRPGs.
Yeah.
And with, you know, video game turnaround time, like they want to get that shit into the hands of the Japanese public as soon as possible because it's going to sell the most there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I will say,
Father Adam.
Yep.
Do you have a game of the year?
No, I do. So honorable mentions first and foremost, just two of them. One for Omori, which I had never played before until this year, and it is
that game rules.
One of the best indie JRPGs, Western indie JRPGs that I've probably ever played. Very good story, very fun. Two, Nort Bapalog. Yes. I played this at the beginning of the year, and I still think about it all the time. It's actually a really fun idle game. I highly recommend it if you haven't played it and you just want to kill some time and have some fun and enjoy the cute little critters. Check it out.
And it's probably the best. Say it again.
The best. It's GNORP.
The Norp Apologue. GNORP. Yeah.
Great.
Got it.
That's probably like the idle game. That was like a huge innovation in idle games this year.
I agree.
It was like an idle game of quality, which you don't really see. So that was really cool. Good.
Tight.
Cool. And then my game of the year, though, is Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which is a game I played later in the year. This was, again, it was a little bit of a weird experience because it has very like old style controls, but the vibes just are so perfect. The setting is so perfect. It's got a great balance of micro and macro puzzles, that the micro puzzles being ones that you are immediately interacting with, the macro puzzles being bits and pieces thrown throughout the game that you have to piece together as you're going along to open up other paths. And the story is phenomenal. I mean, this is one of the situations of Annapurna just hitting it out of the park again. And I really
They always do, man.
Yeah. And I really think that it doesn't have enough eyes on it. It's like old Resident Evil style, but it's like a David Lynch story with like just crazy vibes and will keep you guessing throughout, and you're constantly, you know, churning the cogs in your head, turning them over and over, trying to solve things. You need a pen and paper to play it. And that was a very nostalgic feeling for me, busting out a pen and paper to try and like finish a video game as I'm trying to keep track of everything and write down notes and details. It's just, and the visuals are stunning for the art style. It's got like that, you know, I don't know. It even does those old mechanics in such a way that it fits the vibes and it just works well. It can be a hurdle, I think, to get over that because it feels like you're playing a game from the late 90s, early 2000s.
The old controls you're talking about are tank controls,
like,
right?
Tank controls with save points that are specific to, you know, the setting and not just like open up a menu and hit the save game button, right? Like,
so it's like a fixed camera.
Yep.
I'm looking at it now. I remember you talking about it around the time I was playing Crow Country, and I never ended up going to check it out, but now I'm looking at it. It looks a lot like just a killer survival horror type game, but with an emphasis on the puzzles. The thing is,
it really like isn't, though. Like, there's no zombies in this house or anything. Like,
it's Resident Evil without the zombies.
Yes, it's just vibes. It's just good.
Which is cool. Half the fun of Resident Evil is like, how do I get out of the house?
Right.
It's just like, what if we just did that?
Spooky vibes with a lot of really, really well-made puzzles in it and a very interesting story that unfolds as you piece things together. So if you like feeling like a detective and things like that, and you like piecing things together and solving puzzles, I mean, and you like a great story with very spooky but very, very fun vibes, check this out. It is an amazing game. It deserves more praise than it currently gets. I think that it's not for everyone, but I think it's for actually more people than you think.
I'm gonna pick this up for sure.
Check it out.
I'm glad you named it again. Hell yeah.
I'm feeling remorse over my answer because I just thought of one that just fits better, but go on.
I'm sorry, man. I'll throw it back to you. That's all right. Okay. Well, why don't you say it? You wanna throw it in?
Animal.
Oh, that was my game.
Nice.
Of the year.
Oh,
it's
really?
My game of the year. You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Edit it out.
No, it's okay. You can share mine too.
I feel like it's not. I feel like you're about Payne to say just like Dragon's
knew. No, it literally is.
Oh, okay. Well, then edit
Payne
out.
Just knew before you. He was better than you.
I have it written down. It's right here.
I forgot it came out this year. Like, I thought it came out last year. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
All right, go Payne.
Well, working down, starting at number 5, Against the Storm. I really liked that game.
That had a strong chance for my list, too.
It was great. I just didn't come back to it as much as I wanted to. Like, once I figured it out, I dumped a bunch of hours into it. It's never came back. I still need something, but it's freaking exceptional. Every time I think about that game, I get excited. Crow Country was another one. That one, I think, is the same as Little Eye and the Laser Eye. It's just stellar. It's just a killer survival horror game, but it's like cute. So if you don't like survival horror games, it's like an easy just shoe-in to try and get into the genre. Act Racer. This is a very old game, but this year is the first year I actually played. I think I'm like 80% of the way through it. I'm almost done with it, but I've just had it on these little handhelds, and that game just is great. There's still nothing like it. And I just keep going back to it. It's so simple and so interesting. And once you like get over the obtuse, weird stuff that old games have, it's just killer. It just brings you back. Kingdom Come Deliverance. I beat that game this year.
Nice.
It was a gauntlet. I beat it out of guilt because I told Peter to play it after I hadn't beat it yet. And then he like spent hundreds of hours with it. And I was like, damn it, I have to do this. And I went back and I committed, and it was a slog, but it was a slog that was well worth it. And that game is still, I think, one of the best just first person action RPGs that exists. I would rather play Kingdom Come than Skyrim. It's just the best first-person RPG, and it's another one of those situations where it's like a killer game that just doesn't get pressed because it's not like the fancy stuff that everyone wants to talk about. But my ultimate game of the year is Animal Well. I'm not a big platformer guy anymore. I was when I grew up. I just recently rebeat Kirby Nightmare and Dream Land, playing through Super Mario World.
Let's go.
I beat Meat Boy. I beat Celeste. I beat Mario 64. I beat Mario Galaxy. I've like played all the platformers. I loved them as a kid.
And he still sucks at jumping.
I'm better than you. Better than you, bro. Animal Well, I was like, I don't really want to try this. Like, I don't care. I'm tired of platformers. I feel like there hasn't been. Like, I played Celeste because everybody was super stoked about Celeste. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get why this is good, but I still feel like platformers have been the same for a while and they don't really innovate in a way that excites me anymore. And this year there were lots of platformers that innovated quite a bit, and I think we're starting to finally get those platformers that are trying some crazy stuff to really make the genre feel fresh. But a lot of it feels like, you know, shooting yourself really far, having these like boost mechanics or lock-on mechanics or like Sonic style like spinning mechanics that are in the game. And that's not why I'm playing the platformer. Like, I'm playing it more to get immersed in the world, and I didn't realize that until I was playing Animal Well. And this is the most immersive game I think I've played since Red Dead Redemption 2. And it's a 2D platformer, and I did not expect that at all. I couldn't put the game down. I played it until I beat it. It's a really short game. I think I beat it in like 15 hours. But then I beat it again. I beat it twice. And hey, I never ever do that ever.
So nice. You gotta beat it twice.
Yeah. It was great. I've never ever done that any game I've ever played. And I don't even think Animal Well is my favorite game ever. It's just, it was just immaculately made. The atmosphere,
the vibes.
Yes, it's perfect. Yeah. I think the big part of it is the sound design and the shaders, like the way that he's used code to like give things like a shimmering quality or like trails, or it's got this like dreamlike psychedelic quality, or there's like 3D smoke particles in this 2D world, which is really weird. It's just stylized perfectly. The sound design, he used all these old analog synthesizers to make a lot of the sounds. So they're just like these chunky old sounds, like probably what people wanted to do on old systems, but they couldn't because they couldn't fit that sound in those old systems. So this feels like truly like a futuristic retro game.
Yeah.
And
the sound that those like geese make just haunt me.
Yeah.
The like bird like things. It's terrifying.
This guy uses the fidelity of modern sounds, not just for fidelity's sake, like what would happen on the PlayStation 1, where it's like we can put MP3s on here so we can make big sounds. Like, this guy uses the fidelity of modern sound design to make things that I have never heard before, and to immerse me in a way that I've never been before. and to play a platformer that's about immersion instead of just like obstacle dodging was just a very new and interesting experience I didn't realize I needed. And if you haven't played Animal Well, I suggest you go check it out.
What did you play it on?
I played it on my Steam Deck, my PlayStation 5.
Okay. So would you recommend...
It just doesn't lean completely on mechanics, which is like... Because it has really good mechanics. Like,
it does. That's the other thing. It's a killer platformer. It's still fun. You still have to dodge obstacles, but...
And there are fun little things that you do, like when you like toss a disc and ride on it. Love that. Yeah. It's so much fun.
It's got all those... It's got the Zelda-esque stuff where you've got all the cool... things that you use, and they're just like fun toys that you get to use, but they're just useful in these new and interesting ways. I mean, Jake, what were
the
you
world
saying
is
about...
just lovely. Sorry, go on,
Jake. What were you asking?
Is it preferred, or do you know if it's any different on Switch?
No, man, it's all the same. I don't know if it's get if it gets 60 on Switch. That would be something I'd check. But this is what I play with my girlfriend too. So me and Victoria would just switch off. She would play until she'd get freaked out and then give me the controller. Which
nice.
Great. And it's cool because there's not enemies. So, I mean, there are enemies, but like it's not like in Mario where like there's a ton of enemies. And if you can't precisely jump on them, you're screwed. Like it's mostly just about figuring out where to go. So killer game. Super cool. Check it out if you haven't.
Nice. Good job, boys.
Yeah.
Good Adam, you look like you were about to say something.
Yeah, when he said PS5, it made me think of NCAA 25. And I was that should have been an honorable mention. Fuck.
I thought about it too.
Yeah. It's not my game of the year, but definitely like up there for me. Back into sports games, you know? Like,
his sports games were video games. I definitely would have let you guys talk about that.
All right, listen. That's all. All right, put it for a future episode. We're going to have this conversation.
we'll definitely need to have that conversation when the Sifu, like the creators of Sifu, that soccer game comes out
that's going to be lit.
That's wild, that announcement. I was sad that they didn't announce Sifu 2, and instead they were like, we're doing soccer, because nobody bought Sifu, so...
I bought Sifu. Fuck you.
I think it had over a million sales.
That's pretty good. Why didn't they make the second one? Come on, man. Come on.
It could be in process while they wanted to try something new.
Listen, don't put them in a box.
You're right. You're right.
Come on now.
I do. I'm more willing to play the Sifu soccer game than FIFA. So
I mean, for sure, it's like Super Mario Strikers. You know, like that's what camp it is kind of in for me.
Well, speaking of striking other people until they die, let's talk about who won Fantasy Critic. Let's take it to the Fantasy Legends. Whoa. All right, Fantasy Critic. Let's look at the first league first so I can have my glory and then Adam can have his.
Hey.
So we got 2024. Just kidding. That was the second league.
Lame
we
Boys
got
Advance 2024.
Lame Boys Advance 2024. The four of us.
I'm in last in both, aren't I?
Adam.
No.
Jake.
Oh, God.
Come on, Noah. You joined with me, dog.
The final rankings. I guess we'll go from the bottom up. In last place in the first Fantasy Critic, we have Jake with 7 points. Just kidding. Sorry. -2 points.
There it is. I was going to say, that's not right.
We're out here kicking ass.
In third place, Noah with 76.56 points.
What a jump.
Respectable.
Jesus.
In second place, Adam with 79.92 points. And in first place, with $22 left in his budget, I will say. The rest of you guys have zero. I'm just going to throw that out there. I got 136.42 points. So.
Well, you know how to develop the youth and draft well. We get it.
Beat that.
I mean, you stacked roster for you, Payne. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, what was on the winning? Let me go back and look.
Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Pacific Drive, Metaphor Reef Fantasio, Animal Well, Unicorn Overlord, Stellar Blade, The Plucky Squire, and UFO 50. Your lowest scores were 2 12s, and then the next, Pacific Drive got a 10.
Yeah, Pacific Drive was my worst pick, and that was an 80.
Yes. So, and then UFO 50 got a 91. Metaphor Refantasio got a 92, which Jake counterpicked, which is why he got minus 25 points for that counterpick.
Okay, hold on. Can we just talk about how screwed I got on Helldivers and Space Marine?
Yeah,
Helldivers. Come on. I should have done a little better on both of those.
Space Marine got an 81. Yeah, and then South Park Snow Day minus 10.
I don't agree with those, but I also, just knowing how critics review games, like, multiplayer games never really get above an 8. Like,
that's because they all suck at playing games.
It's not that. It's just because multiplayer games are never finished. Like, you can't... It's like, this is good. I don't know if it'll keep being good. Like, it's...
I don't know. Maybe you gotta treat it in a different way when you judge it, then. Because, Helldivers and Space Marine, like, I will grant that Stalker is like, if you love the Stalker series, it is an absolute win. But there are some major needs. The other
There's
two,
a reason I counterpicked it.
Yeah.
But Helldivers should be way better.
I think the only reason it reviewed poorly is because when it launched, it was crashing for like 3 weeks straight.
Yeah. I mean, that's because
you had to wait
in a lobby for an hour. Okay, how are you supposed to judge that when that's literally because so many fucking people are playing?
So, like, part of a multiplayer game's, like, thing is being able to be played online by millions of people. If your game can't do that, it's going to lose a point, which is what happened to Helldivers. Like, what do you want? Right?
Is
like,
good
how am I
game
supposed to review?
Or is not good game?
It's a good game, but
server issues always get solved right off the
bat. It's a good game when it works.
Right.
It works
so,
great.
Maybe we should take like server issues out, but like, what if you review a game with bad server issues and it never gets fixed? Like, there are some games that are like that.
Sure.
I'm sorry you got screwed though, man. The game that we are going to be playing, for me, I announced last time, it's going to be Pokemon Red Rocket. It's a ROM hack for Pokemon Fire Red. And it's where you get to play as Team Rocket. I will put a link in the description of that episode on how to install that if you have an official copy of Pokemon Fire Red, or if you just happen to stumble upon a copy somewhere.
Somewhere on the high seas.
Instructions to play that game. It's definitely worth playing along. It's like, in my opinion, for me, it's what I want from a JRPG. And so it's one of the best I've ever played. So I'm excited to share it with you guys and to talk about it with you guys. So it'll be cool. All right. Second League.
I'm excited to play it on the little mini.
Second League. I put it on there for you.
Oh, man.
2024B. What do we got? Let's see. I'll read the scores right here. Coming in. Fifth place. No, I did come in last.
Dang. On some bullshit, man.
Yeah, the counterpick of Call of Duty Black Ops 6 really, yeah, that hurt.
Was that? I mean, he was the one. The weird part about that, he's like, what if there's like a great Call of Duty that comes out soon, like the best one ever?
And the one time that they actually fucking do the thing that I said.
Dog. I mean,
I took a lot of swings on some gambles here. Like, there were many signs that told me that Slitterhead probably wasn't going to review well.
Dude,
but I took a shot.
I was
going to
pick Slitterhead if you hadn't. So, like, you were reading the tea leaves I was reading. It looked like it was going to be good.
Rivals 2 not getting scored probably pulls me out of last, I feel like.
We can tie you. Oh, we can score it. I'm sorry that didn't get scored.
It's cool.
Jake didn't even pick a last game. So you are, if Jake, because he didn't pick a last game and because he also didn't counterpick a last game, he's going to lose points. So you're actually ahead of Jake. So
I didn't need him.
That being said, if the review for Rivals is good enough, it pulls Adam down.
Yep.
Oh, so then maybe you'll be in third place. All right. Do you want me to add it right now?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what you're like.
I think it's a democracy. We can vote. If everybody votes, because we did for the last one, when we were like, should we manually score this? And everybody voted yes. We can vote again. Should I enter this right now? Because we only have one review out. That's an 8. Do we think that that is fair to put an 8 in for that? Noah will get 10 points.
I'm cool with that.
Adam will lose 10 points.
Which... Okay.
I'm here to be an agent of chaos, baby.
That's fine.
I'll still be in third, but it'll be a lot closer.
Do I need to manually put it in?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we have to be consistent with how we played the rest of the league. So,
what was your name again, Noah? Discount Drug Sales.
Yes,
he was.
Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Rivals of Aether.
Yeah.
A score. Yep. It's asking for a score. I'm going to put an 8.
Yep.
Could it be 80?
Well, it's going to have to be 80.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're definitely losing now, buddy.
Negative a billion points.
God, imagine.
Did it just score? Yeah, Rivals of Aether. You got negative 20, dude. That sucks, man. Damn.
Oh, brutal. Oh, yeah, man. 26 points total, Noah. Rough.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
No one ever talked about how poorly Microsoft Flight Sim
went. It got a 75. It only got 5 points, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
We were hyping that up. It just wasn't that great.
Karmic justice, bro.
Everybody was so mad when I picked that.
Yeah. No, I was.
This last one was awesome.
Yeah. Last one got like an 87 or something like that.
Yeah. It just, the new one just feels like it should have been like an update for 2020.
Because it is. That's why I was so pissed. I was like, why can't I pick Persona 3 Reload, which is definitely a remake, and Jake can pick fucking Flight Simulator, which is literally a software update.
Should we do an Unhinged League next year where we allow just fucking everything?
We can just pick demos.
If it is a game 100%. That releases next year, then we can pick it.
All right. Just open
or
it up.
Or DLC.
Completely. DLC, early access.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Remake. Yeah.
Updates. I like updates.
ROM hacks.
I think we'd have to do 2 leagues. We can do like the crazy league and the not crazy league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So we're gonna do 4 leagues next year. That's wild. All right. I'm cool with that. I don't mind. I'm gonna still
let's
win
make the
in all
unhinged
them,
but... one like the public league for all of our listeners and whatnot.
Okay.
Since somebody's so gonna many more pick games. Some like fucking game no one's ever heard of and
exactly
be the only critic
the unhinged league.
We still have to read through what happened. So now, after updating that, the final updated score, and then subtracting 10 from Jake's score. Jake is still in last. Jake is in last with 47.65 points. Noah is in fourth with 55.82 points. That other Adam, 37-year-old Adam is in third place with 80.14 points.
Minus 10.
I am in second place with 81.86 points, and Adam is in first place with 88.52 points.
Yeah, baby! From the heart! Let's go! It worked! Just picking indie games, that's the secret. As long as you know they're going to be good because you played all the demos.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You I don't got know the about insider that one.
Info too. I think the trick to winning Fantasy Critic is to just be a fucking nerd. Like,
yeah. That's the trick to winning fantasy anything, man.
There's
I'm
some
in a fantasy
bias.
Baseball league. None of those guys are in the slightest bit athletic, but goddamn, do they know baseball stats. And I know baseball stats, but they like study baseball stats.
Yeah, that is the way to go.
It just fucks me up, man. Like, I had some banger games on mine in this league, and I just got taken down so bad by Call of Duty and Slitterhead.
Well, Adam, what are we going to play this year?
Oh, so this year we are going to play.
You can also wait if you wanted to.
Lorelei, the straight
I think
guy?
That's fair. Yeah, I think you Lorelei? Should be able to wait till any point in the year.
You can. You don't have to. You can wait as well. That's fine.
100%. Yeah.
I guess my first question is, has anyone here actually played Slay the Princess yet?
Nope.
No,
I don't think so.
I have it.
I think I'm just going
Jake,
to pick
it's
that.
Not a porn game. You don't have to check your porn games. That's
yeah.
Said,
I think
so.
I think I might just pick that. honestly, because I do love that game, and I really, they released a new update for free that adds a bunch more endings and stuff, so I haven't played that yet. So yeah,
right on. Slay the Princess and Fire Red Rocket. Let's do it. Stop thinking of dog wieners. All right. Thanks for listening to the show. We love you all. We will read your emails as soon as we have a full bag. So if you've already sent us an email, stop sending us emails. Doesn't count. All right. We've had a couple people double and triple ups. Knock it off.
Or keep it up, but you're not getting that many gift
cards.
Yeah, definitely keep sending emails.
One gift card per person. Maybe people just don't believe us. Like, maybe we have to make a video where we're presenting a gift card.
I will take a quick snapshot of me going to Kroger or something and getting the card. Like, take my money, please.
You forgot your car's extended warranty. I need you to go get me some Sephora gift cards, Noah.
All right. Dude, I had a boss a couple jobs ago fell for a phishing scam like that and like made me drive him to go buy Google Play gift cards. It was the craziest shit ever. I didn't want to embarrass him, so I didn't say anything because I was like, maybe this shit's...
Oh my god, you're awful.
You let him embarrass himself?
Dude. It was great because I had leverage over him for my raise that next year.
Oh my god.
Because he just kept it a secret. It was funny.
You probably could have gotten a raise from saving him from a phishing scam too. Like, that's like the chaotic neutral way to handle that situation.
Yeah. Always save your best cards for when you need them.
All right, boys, we're signing off here. You know, Pirates suck. Cowboys are awesome.
Pirates are the best, and Cowboys are mid.
Yeah, well,
Pirate software is pretty cool.
Pirate software is pretty cool.
Is pretty cool.
And pirating software is pretty cool.
All right, thanks for coming, everybody.
See you later. I don't want to get fired from my job. Hasta la vista. Thanks. Snipe,